Oh, I love that. Vince Guaraldi, Linus, and Lucy. Our holiday theme here in Focus with Paul W. Smith. With the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, Marie Osborne, Ann Thomas, Kim Smith. My goodness, what a great team we have. As you're on your way to making each and every day count because, well, you know each day is a gift, and we think about QTR, quality time remaining. I do want to thank you, too, for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. We've got a great lineup. Wait a minute. Let me just double check something.
Yes.
It's Friday!
Yay!
Oh, man, that almost slipped by me. Boy, you can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. It is Friday, December 5th. Though, Michael, I would direct your attention to the rundown at the top of the page.
Yes. What do I have?
Thursday, December 4th.
Wow.
And though it was a great day because the Lions won,
yes,
I don't want to repeat the day.
No, I do not want to short us a weekend
Friday.
Day.
Yeah,
yes.
We need a Friday.
Yes, so thank you for making that correction.
Okay, just looked down at you and saw that.
That's how I test to make sure you're reading it.
I see. Yeah. Well, you know that I do read
yes.
as best I can.
Good job, you passed.
The best, but thank you. It was a great Lions game. And I was thankful that I was able to get home from my duties and festivities. They were good festivities and duties because it was a wonderful Christmas party. And Joe and Rosalie Vicari, I mean, if anybody knows how to throw a party, they do. The proprietors of Andiamo and all the restaurants that they own, they just threw a great party last night. And I was able to run into Frankie Shinta.
Wow.
Our listeners may remember that name because the Shintas used to come around a lot and perform, thanks to Joe. And now Frankie is this weekend out at the Andiamo's in Warren, the showplace. So we're going to just say hi to him a little later in the program. How about Michigan State?
Yeah.
What a story. And I think there's a big story, Daniel Howes on the front page of the Detroit News. Moves change the game at MSU. Details on financial commitment poised to add to the week's wins. This couple, I don't think I know them. I don't know. Maybe I've met them.
I've never heard of them myself.
401? Is that right? $401
million? $1 million. And then also they're going to be selling naming rights to Spartan Stadium. Probably the basketball arena. So, I guess that's
they've got to have something named after them for a $400 commitment.
No, I mean, they're going to be selling naming rights to other people on top of that. And
I know, but I'm just saying that
like their name should be on.
I mean, their name's got to be on something.
Yeah, I mean, a weight room or something. I don't know, but...
I hope it's not a weight room.
I mean, this is good news, Paul, because obviously we were talking about how much money they were paying Jonathan Smith.
Well, part of this is to take our attention off of that, but it's all good news.
Well, and I think that will help, too, negate some of those costs. And
so it really negates a lot of those costs.
And this is why they hired Jay Batt. I mean, they hired him for his
fundraising. Is this what he's known for?
Yeah, for his fundraising acumen. So it sounds like he's doing the job he was hired to do.
Well, thank you to that wonderful family for making that happen. Do you have the name in front of you? I had it on my phone. I was reading it. First of all, President Kevin Guskowitz, former chancellor at University of North Carolina, he's really doing a nice job leading away from all the trouble that poor Michigan State went through.
Greg and Dawn Williams.
There you go. God bless you, Williams family, and all the generations of family that really have a role in this kind of a contribution, if you think about it. You know, the whole family's making a contribution.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, where they made their fortune here. Acrisure co-founder.
I don't know what that is. My next Google is,
what is Acrisure?
It sounds like an insurance company almost.
It's a financial technology and insurance company headquartered in Grand Rapids. Okay.
All right.
There we go. We're learning.
We all are learning, and that's a good thing. The Lions kept their playoff hopes alive, beating the Cowboys 44-30 last night at Ford Field, despite another questionable call by the referees that called back a safety in the first quarter. You know, it's unbelievable. Is it just me, or what is it that makes us believe that the officiating is just not what it used to be?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, both fan bases are PO'd at the officiating this morning, because there is also that false start that the offsides that Jared Goff and everyone thought was a free play that they didn't call, and then there was that offensive pass interference on the Cowboys. So it seems like both fan bases are not happy with the officiating, and you're right, it seems like it's getting worse and worse.
We have some great players and great playing, and we will talk about this a little later with the guy who there's no one better to talk with about this, Lomas Brown Jr., the legend. So he'll be joining us today to talk about that. You know, Link Bessert used to come in and tell us, and I can't remember the name of the company. That's just because it's me. I've never had a very good memory. Oh, I have a very good memory. It's just very short.
Yeah.
But we remember how we used to have the featured color of the year? That was in the morning show.
Yeah.
We didn't do it here.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they might still be doing it in the morning show, but I'm sleeping. So
right. Macomb County Company, I think, does it.
Is it? You know, it's terrible that I can't remember the name, but trust me, as Mike Parsons knows, he is what Ann Thomas used to be. He is my memory. I mean, the joke I always give is, who's that woman coming toward us, Ann? That's your mother, Paul. Yeah, anyway, I mean, it's just a joke. By the way, Danielle, I don't know how long it's been up there in your name, because we're looking at... You soon will see us during the whole show, but I look at Daniela. Along mine, somebody put Paul W. Smith 760 WJR. Mike Parsons doesn't have anything next to his, but Danielle has under hers, runner of the board.
Yep, that's what I am. I'm the runner of the board.
You are indeed.
It asked me if I wanted to make a headline. I thought that, well, that makes sense.
Well, I've never heard your position called the runner of the board.
I made it up.
The board operator or whatever. You made that up?
Yeah.
That's yours.
Yeah.
Runner
Good
of the board you. Sounds more dramatic.
Yeah, sophisticated almost.
Yes.
So it is sophisticated. So my point about the color of the year, there is a color of the year for 2026. These people, Pantone, another company, not our company that we like and support, but another company called Pantone, has come up with the color of the year for 2026. Please tell me what color... is the color they called Cloud Dancer.
I have to recuse myself because I know the color. I saw it.
Oh, okay. You do have to recuse yourself. I mean, remember when there was red and blue and gray and purple and
it just
cream?
Looks...
Even cream got a little out there. But
it just looks white to me.
Do you know somebody made a lot of money to come up with that Cloud Dancer color?
Your shirt looks like it's Cloud Dancer.
Yes, it is. So they describe it as a billowy white shade imbued with a feeling of serenity. I'd give anybody a dollar if they look at this and don't know that whole backline story and go, wow, this is a
Danielle's
billowy
holding
white
it up
shade
to the camera.
Imbued.
Yes.
Imbued.
Yeah, that's white.
A white serenity.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. All right. Cloud Dancer symbolizes calming influence, quiet reflection, fresh starts, relaxation, and focus, evoking peace, unity, and cohesiveness. That's the job we all should strive for. One that no one can ever really double-check us and tell us we're wrong. Who's going to look at that and go, nah, that's not right.
Right.
Nobody.
I would bet you ChatGPT is going to be writing this in the next year or so, these types of descriptions.
If AI or ChatGPT didn't already write it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm saying.
I pick
you're
up what
alive,
you're laying
you're breathing.
Down.
Yeah. Oh, you're picking up what I'm laying down. That's even better.
Yeah.
All right. It is Friday. We're underway. It's 12:15. here in Focus with Paul W. Smith and the team on WJR. Always a pleasure to welcome my next guest. He is Nolan Findlay, the editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Well, you know that there was quite a bit of urging of the Trump administration to the GOP-controlled Texas legislature to draw new district lines midway through the usual 10-year redistricting cycle, setting off a race among states to get in the game. And some of those other efforts are being challenged in court. Five other states have already adopted new congressional maps: California, Missouri, North Carolina, Ohio, and Utah. And the Supreme Court has ruled now that Texas can use their new congressional maps. You know, I knew it would be a mess from the beginning, but what a mess it's been, and I don't know who it's benefiting the most, Nolan Findlay.
Well, it is a mess, and I was surprised by the ruling, Paul, because the Constitution seems to be pretty clear on the on when you can hold a redistricting effort and why, you know, seeking political advantage doesn't seem to be one of the criteria. The Constitution is pretty clear that this is to be done in court in connection with the biennial census. And, you know, there is no, I mean, we're still several years away from that. So I'm a little surprised. And also, Paul, when you look at who had advantages and who had disadvantages, there's been a lot of talk about, well, gosh, there's some states that hardly have any or no Republican representatives in Congress because of Democratic gerrymandering, et cetera. But if you look at the whole, if you look at Congress as a whole, the House of Representatives is almost evenly divided. The U.S. Senate is almost evenly divided. And that reflects the reality of the nation's politics. You look at the outcome of the last election. It was almost a 50-50 split. And that's what we continue to see. So I think Congress already reflects the political makeup of the nation. And I think when it's all said and done here, it's going to still reflect that, because you'll have other states countering what Texas is doing.
And therein lies the rub. Nolan, I don't understand how the Trump administration and everybody else behind this push wouldn't have figured out, obviously, that this was merely going to open the door for other states to do it. And it seems to me that a state like California is going to benefit way more than what Texas is benefiting from. I mean, my point is, how did they not think there would be a tit-for-tat kind of reaction? Oh, if you're going to do that, then we're going to do that.
I don't know. I mean, that's the way we're governing today. It's all on whims and stream of consciousness. Somebody gets an idea, and, oh, gosh, let's go with it. We really do have chaos in our political process today.
Yeah, we do seem to be living throughout to chaos, that's for sure. A quick story that, to me, I don't quite understand the story. But look, I've never been a big fan of the rules of war, because I'm pretty sure that in the heat of battle and the rules of war, if anybody followed them, it was just the United States of America. I don't believe any of our enemies ever didn't shoot someone left over from an attack or anything else, just so they didn't have to carry them along or have the bother of taking care of prisoners. I just don't believe it. So here we've got this whole thing with the admiral, and he's now telling us there was never a kill them all order, which I think, didn't that come out in a newspaper? And when are we going to start calling out these newspapers that print, make stuff up or print even out and out lies?
Well, I tell you, this whole Venezuelan business bothers me. We are not at war with Venezuela. And, you know, to be conducting ourselves under the rules of war when there is no war bothers me. I don't I'm not entirely comfortable with blowing boats out of the water when you don't know exactly who is in them. And certainly coming back and killing people clinging to a boat is an unsavory prospect to consider. I mean, these are people, and they may be bad people, but we've always engaged in due process to try to sort out what's meriting and what's not.
We've always abided by the rules of war. Like I say, no one else has, but we always have. We've tried soldiers for breaking the rules of war, that we've tried our soldiers and convicted them. This has happened in our history, not that far ago, past history. Here's the quick answer. I mean, no one would be complaining right now if they would have just fired two missiles. They have this big thing about wanting to show us all these boats getting blown up, and they show one missile hitting it, and then they celebrate. Yeah. Well, if they did two missiles, they wouldn't be worried about this. And no one would be complaining.
And you know, there's a little too much of a cowboy attitude going on in the Defense Department too. This, you know, all the memes that Hegseth's putting out about killing these terrorists. I mean, killing people is a serious thing in any situation, and to treat it so frivolously and so, you know, boo-ha attitude. I'm really, you know, I did not think Pete Hegseth would be a good defense secretary, and he's proving me right. You know, he's just way too much of a, towel snapper.
Some would say towel snapper. Some would say Yehu would be another way of putting it. But other people say, thank God he's doing this. So it's we are divided as a nation, that's for sure. Hey, the book going well, I hope? The civility book?
It is, and Oakland University is building a curriculum around it. And
oh, boy.
I'm going to house the civility project. So, you know, we're pretty excited about it.
Well, congratulations. Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide, by Nolan Finley and Stephen Henderson with Lynn Goldner. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you again soon. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Mom. I appreciate it.
You take care. Well, here's a very bizarre story, and I'm calling upon an expert who can maybe shed some light on this. As you know by now, the FBI has, I guess it was basically yesterday, they arrested a man accused of placing two pipe bombs outside the headquarters of both the Republican and Democrat national parties in Washington on the eve of the U.S. Capitol attack. The D.C. pipe bomb, here's another headline that's just coming in. D.C. pipe bomb suspect admitted to planting the devices, expressed doubts about the 2020 election outcome. It's been pointed out repeatedly from Pam Bondi, the attorney general, her quote, "Let me be clear, there was no new tip, there was no new witness, just good, diligent police work and prosecutorial work." Well, where did this story go for the last few years? Let's check in with Michael Bulata of Bulata Law, federal criminal defense attorney and former federal prosecutor. Michael, always
a
pleasure when we call upon you, Paul, even for unusual cases like this one.
This is a fun one, Paul, and that is the most interesting. One of the most interesting questions is what happened over the last 5 years, and why, if there were no new tips, why did it take 5 years?
Yeah, the question really is not what happened, but what didn't happen and why? Why was this why did this come through, slip through the cracks, and no one paid attention? Both the Democrats and the Republicans would have a vested interest in this.
Certainly, and I think the fact that neither of those two pipe bombs exploded and hurt anyone. I think that's part of the reason why it took a long time, because it wasn't prioritized, and they didn't have until, I think, you know, over the last maybe year, they didn't have a team of FBI agents assigned and according to the reports I read, there were dozens of agents assigned. And the way what they did is they looked at all of the cell phone activity pinging off the towers near the two headquarters at the pertinent time, the night before the January 6th riots, on January 5th of 2021. And they were able to key in on one particular phone that also, well, they probably keyed in on a bunch of phones, but at some point they narrowed it down, and then they paired it up with the height, and they figured out whose phone that was, and they paired it with the height analysis that was done by reviewing the surveillance photos. And they also looked at the fellow's shoes that were very unique. There were only 25,000 pairs of these Nike shoes sold at this time, and so they were able to connect all these dots. So it was just, I don't have any reason to believe anything nefarious happened. I just think it was the lack of putting the resources into this, to solving this case.
But I'll tell you, Michael Bellotta of Bellotta Law, I always feel that certain things are said for certain reasons. And for Pam Bondi to make it very clear, I want you to, and she even said, let me be clear. No new tips, no new witnesses. It's implying
she's flagging on Biden's administration. Exactly.
Yeah, it's that it was bad police work, and or in this case, it seems like no police work. If we can see now the video of the guy, and it just seems very odd. And who's implying what here? What would be the point of them not following up on this?
Well, there might be a reason if, let's say, only the Republican headquarters were targeted. Maybe
right.
The Democrats wouldn't follow through. But the fact that there were pipe bombs at both headquarters seems like both parties, as you alluded to, would have a similar motive to try to get to the bottom of it. I honestly don't know why the resources weren't put in, but I think Pam Bondi is just taking being opportunistic and just claiming that, you know, this is an example of the ineptitude of the previous administration.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It just seems very strange because, again, we'll say it again and again and again, both parties had a reason to push this, but I'm not I don't remember paying attention to all the stuff we have to pay attention to. Anybody from either side of the aisle saying publicly, hey, whatever happened to the guy who put the pipe bombs, you know, in both of our, I'd never heard anybody complaining or asking about it.
Right. It took a while, too, if you recall. Do you remember the Centennial bomber?
Yeah. And then they got that wrong.
Yeah, they got it wrong with Richard Jewell, and they took several years to figure that out. So what I guess my answer to all this is why did it take long? It's just the resources weren't there until they were. And I'll give you an example. If let's say you took all the cold cases in Wayne County, for an example, like all the cold case murder cases, and you, instead of just allowing the senior homicide detective at the Wayne County Sheriff's Department or the Detroit Police Department to handle the cases, the cold cases, if you put two dozen FBI agents on it, I mean, you would solve more of those cases. It's a matter of resources, and it's also a matter of the expertise of the various individuals that were brought to bear in this investigation.
Look, I can understand the argument. I don't accept it, but I can understand the argument of people saying, look, nobody got hurt. They didn't explode. Well, then don't you worry about them going back and trying to do it again? Don't you think you ought to find somebody who thought they were going to pipe bomb those locations?
Just like they found the Unabomber. They had a whole team of people. I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably saw the documentary on how they caught the Unabomber, but that was similar. That they had a whole team of FBI folks, including profilers, working together for years to try to find the Unabomber, Mr. Kaczynski. But I think it just wasn't. They didn't put the resources in. That's where I think it was, and I don't know why.
Appreciate your professional view, as always. Michael Bellotta of Bellotta Law, federal criminal defense attorney, former federal prosecutor. We appreciate you and hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, sir. 12:44 here in Focus with Paul W. Smith. Relentless positive radio right here in the middle of your afternoon on WJR. Stream us live. Or podcast us whenever you can, whenever it's convenient, at WJR.com. Well, this is the greatest time of year, as far as I'm concerned, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the wonderful opportunities for us and the whole family to enjoy some very special moments in theater, which, you know, I grew up in theater and love it very, very much. We did. Mike reminded me, I forgot, that I played Scrooge in A Christmas Carol not that long ago in our WJR presentation that Mike Parsons and Rich Luzinski produced. It was great fun. But I have to tell you, nothing like what Meadowbrook Theater is celebrating. It's the season, a celebration of the 43rd year of A Christmas Carol that's running now through December 24th on the campus of Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan. By the way, there have been some reports of some heating problems at Oakland University. They are not affected at the Meadowbrook Theater. Apparently, you can be nice and toasty there when you enjoy one of Southeast Michigan's favorite holiday traditions, returning for its 43rd year, as I mentioned. Ebenezer, Tiny Tim, A Handful of Ghosts, Raise Your Spirits in A Christmas Carol at Meadowbrook Theater. I'll give you the numbers again over and over. I've done it for years, but it's mbtheater.com, mbtheater.com. And you want to buy your tickets from Ticketmaster or the Meadowbrook Theater box office because there are people out there, unscrupulous people, screwing around with people, trying to sell them tickets, charge them too much, and fake tickets. So do it only through Ticketmaster and, even better, the Meadowbrook Theater box office. Now, Mary Magyari, the spirit of Christmas past, is with us. Tamara Della Anderson, the spirit of Christmas present. And Sean Ryan, the spirit of Christmas future. So we got it covered. Past, present, and future. Mary, Tamara, and Sean, welcome to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show. Mary, you're first because, well, you're the past.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I am in Mount Clemens, Michigan. Kind of grew up all over the Metro Detroit area. So very familiar with the area. But this is my fourth year with Meadowbrook's Christmas Carol, and I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're happy to have you back. Tamara Della Anderson, where are you from?
It's Tamara, and no worries.
Tamara Della Anderson.
So I'm originally from living in Philadelphia, but this is my third time doing Christmas Carol here at Meadowbrook, so I'm glad to be back, too.
I lived in Philly for 6 years and enjoyed every minute of it. Sean Ryan, the spirit of Christmas future, where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Ann Arbor.
Oh. So are they generally in these plays now doing the best they can to get as many local people as they can? Sean?
Yeah. Oh, I have no idea.
I can answer that. I think with Christmas Carol, the show's been on for 43 years, like you mentioned. And so a lot of returning faces. And, you know, you always get the occasional out-of-state actor, which is great. But there's so much talent in Michigan that they just love bringing us back.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And I think it's great when you can have family close by from whether it's Mount Clemens or Ann Arbor or even Philadelphia to be able to have them come in and enjoy this wonderful Christmas Carol. Is this one of the more enjoyable things? I assume you're all making a living as actors. Sean, is this one of the more enjoyable things you do during the year?
This is definitely one of the more enjoyable things I do during the year. However, I'm not making a living as an actor.
You're not?
This is the one paid acting gig that I do every year. And I've only been doing it for 2 years. This is a newer thing to me. I come from more of a circus background, and I am a stilt walker, so they had reached out to me to do this role because I can be uncomfortable on stilts.
All right, more of a circus background. Tell me a little about that.
I work out at the Renaissance Festival with Delirio Del Arte, and we do, like, juggling, still walking, any kind of, like, tricks you can think of.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Tamara? I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. How about you? Is this a lot of fun for you?
Oh, yeah. I quite enjoy it. I love the role to the president. I just love the story of Christmas Carol. It's so timely. And it's such a beautiful story of redemption.
It is a beautiful, beautiful story. I'm glad we could tell everyone. Go to mbtheater.com at Meadowbrook as we continue. I don't know if it's just my monitor, but my monitor that's on Fox News seems to have been frozen for quite some time.
Ours is operational here.
It is, so it must be me. Okay, there. It's locked in at the Kennedy Center in Washington at 11:30 this morning.
Wow, it's been frozen for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to just turn it off.
It is cold out, so.
See if that fixes it.
Yeah.
The team on this Friday afternoon, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, Marie Osborne, Ann Thomas, Kim Smith, a cast of thousands. And happy to be here. We'll be going to the movies in just a little bit. Lomas Brown Jr., the legend, Detroit Lions legend, co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown and Anthony Bellino, weighing in on the great Lions game last night. At a great party last night, I ran into an old friend from Las Vegas, Frankie Shinta, the showman. And he is at the Italian Festival this month at the Andiamo Celebrity Showroom. In fact, tomorrow night, I can't tell you how great it was to see you, Frankie. And you look great and raring to go for your performance tomorrow. Hi, Frankie.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
I am excellent. Now, where people can follow you online, where do they find you? I've found you.
My website is frankieshinta.com. That's S-C-I-N-T-A. Sounds like Skinta, but it's not.
Thank
and it's
God.
Frankie with an I-E, not a Y. And they could follow me on Facebook, Frankie Shinta. And I just want you to know, it's not your monitor. I'm watching Fox News, and it's dead.
You dropped off just as you said. You're watching Fox News, and it's?
It's dead.
It's dead? Off the air. So other people are having trouble. All right. Very good.
Maybe it's
we
the
make
carrier.
It up. I guess it must be the carrier. That's a good point. Yeah.
Must be a conspiracy.
I think it is a conspiracy. But Frankie, you have, since I've known you, which is many, many years, you perform every night like it's your first and your last show. No one is ever disappointed. It is good old-fashioned Vegas-like entertainment, and people have a chance tomorrow night. Doors open at 7, show at 8. At the Andiamo Celebrity Showroom, that's on East 14 Mile Road in Warren. That's where we were last night. Rosalie and Joe do a wonderful job in thanking people and bringing us all together. But tell us about the show that you're going to do tomorrow night. I know that you do things that are classic, but you do change things around a little bit.
Absolutely. There'll be some Christmas holiday spirit in the show. My daughter, Danielle, who's been singing with me now for about 3 years, is going to make her first stage live appearance in Detroit, Michigan this week.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I've seen her online. I've seen her online before with you.
Yeah, she is not a singer. She'll tell you that. But she's absolutely, you'll fall in love with her. Anybody that's ever seen the Shintas over the decades, you're going to love my daughter. She's a chip off the old block of my brother, Joe, my sister, and me all combined. And she's just a sweetheart. She knows how to break her father's oranges on stage. And it's a blessing to have her with me. And I cannot wait to show her off to Michigan.
Well, Michigan can't wait to see your daughter, Danielle. And we all remember so fondly your brother, Joe, and you and your sister, who were all together at one point, not with Danielle, but all together. And for how many years now have the Shintas been alive because of you, Frankie?
Wow. Well, my brother and I were partners for almost 45 years.
Wow.
And after he passed, it was not easy, but I was determined, because I lived to perform, to continue doing what I love to do. And I never slowed down. And I never will until that day comes when the good Lord takes me home.
Well, I'm sure you already have a dance routine and a singing routine and an act already set aside for that day.
Oh, yeah, I do. Absolutely. I want
surprised.
A big Dixieland band and a march down the street.
Good for you. How often do you get out to Vegas now?
Well, I lived there 26 years now.
Oh,
so
boy.
I perform at the South Point Casino, which is a one-owner casino, one of the finest showrooms in Las Vegas. It's just incredible. State-of-the-art, everything. And the Bronx Wanderers, who are appearing with me tomorrow night, are also performing at the South Point Casino. And I've been touring a lot. You know, I've been going to Florida, California, Chicago, New York, Ohio. But I got to tell you, my favorite place is right here in Michigan, man. I love the audience. I love the people.
It's clearly in your blood. And there is a story, if you can give us the shortened version. There's a story why Detroit is so important, and it begins with Joe Vicari.
Yep. If I could tell you, now I'm Sicilian, so if I could count how many Sicilian guys or Italians came up to me with these exact words, I'm going to get you guys to Vegas. And none of them ever stepped up. All it was words. When Joe Vicari said it, he had a partner, a friend who he loved dearly, Dick Scott, who everybody that knew this man's name loved him.
Oh, yeah, Dick Scott, the auto guy. Yep.
Yeah, who passed. And Joe and Dick said, we're taking you to Vegas. And they did. They four-walled, they bought the room, the small showroom at the Hilton, within 6 months. Four casinos came after the Shintas. And because of Joe Vicari and Dick Scott, we got a long-term contract at the Rio, which was spectacular. And it was life to the max. I mean, we had our own showroom, billboards, cab tops, TV commercials, radio commercials. And all because of what Joe Vicari and Dick Scott did for my family. And I'm still performing there. It's just me now with my orchestra. And my daughter does make appearances in Vegas. It's not easy for her to get away. She doesn't come to all my road gigs. But I knew this one was important because she has four kids, all little. And she said, Dad, I just can't get away. I said, guess what? You're getting away for this one. So she will be here tomorrow night.
Oh, that's a big deal. That's wonderful. So your daughter, Danielle, making her stage debut at the place that she should, the Andiamo Showroom in Warren. I love the fact that you play at the South Point Casino with just one owner. Those things don't exist anymore, and when they do, they're extra special.
Absolutely.
And I'm certain the show tomorrow is going to be extra special. You can go to andiamoshowroom.com. AndiamoShowroom.com. The doors open at 7, the show at 8 p.m. And Frankie Shinta opens the show. And then the Bronx guys come on. So it's a twofer.
And we're good friends, which is great. So we're going to end the show together. We'll take the stage together, all of us.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be excellent.
It's going to be a night to remember. That's all I can promise.
All of the nights with Frankie Shinta are nights to remember. God bless you. It was great running into you last night. Kim sends her love. Her mom, Erlene, sends her love. Because you know we are of your biggest fans.
I love it, man. And you look great. Love the beard. I mean, you look so
Santa-like.
Yeah. You're just a beautiful man. And do me a favor. Could you find out why we're not getting Fox News?
Yes, I'm going to get in. As soon as I get off the air, I'm going to get into that right away.
Yeah, give somebody a call, would you? I know you got the power.
Thank you, Frankie. Have fun. Good to see you. Glad things
are
going well.
All right, brother. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to Frankie Shinta, the showman. FrankieShinta.com. Out at Andiamo Celebrity Showroom on East 14 Mile Road in Warren. Tomorrow night, your chance to see him and the debut of his daughter, Danielle. Wanted you to know about that as we continue in focus on WJR at 1:14. Well, yes, indeed, Ryan. The Lions kept their playoff hopes alive, beating the Dallas Cowboys 44-30 last night at Ford Field. Another questionable call by the referees. Those are getting to be just so normal, so regular. Lions got to Dak Prescott, sacking him five times. Three of those going to Muhammad and scoring 14 points off three turnovers, including interceptions by linebacker Derek Barnes and cornerback DJ Reed, who the Cowboys were picking on all night to seal the game, they thought. But I'll tell you what, Amon St. Brown, the guy who has all the details for us right now is Nick Lundberg, a fine MSU graduate. By the way, Nicky, you must be thrilled to hear what's going on at MSU with that big $401 million that a family is now bestowing upon MSU so they can do all kinds of fabulous things with the stadium and other things at the school. That make you happy?
Yeah, the future seems to be really bright with a new coach, you know, all this money coming in. With the new landscape of college football, it's very important to be, you know, on the financial side of things, you know, in the plus, at least on this, you know, in this argument between NIL and whether that, you know, should be a thing or not. But at least for MSU, the future is bright, $400 million now for the $1 billion they're trying to fundraise. And, you know, future's bright in East Lansing.
It is indeed. The future was bright for the Lions. Amon Ross St. Brown, we didn't know if he was even going to get to play, and boy, did he ever.
Yeah, he's a warrior. I mean, when coming into this week, you thought a lot of people thought he wasn't going to play, and even if they announced that he was going to play, you would kind of think he would be more of a decoy, like trying to get the defense, you know, to focus on him rather than some of the other guys on the team. But he stepped in and had, you know, a number of big catches throughout the night to set up crucial scoring opportunities that – and they put up 44 points, and so he was definitely a big reason for that offensive explosion.
What can you say about Jahmyr Gibbs? My goodness.
He might be – I mean, I've been watching the Lions for 10, 12 years, and besides Calvin Johnson, he might be the greatest player, maybe even in the NFL I've ever seen. Three touchdowns, wow. Over 100 total yards, breaking Cowboys' ankles everywhere on the field. Just he's just such an explosive runner, and he can catch out of the backfield. He can block, too. He's just an all-around player, and the Lions really need to get on his extension for this offseason because we want to see him in the Honolulu Blue for way more years to come.
And this is the Goff we love and we want to see. What weighs in? Is it the protection he gets, the coverage, and he falls apart if he doesn't have it? Or what is it that makes the swings so wild with Goff?
I really believe it's the protection because over the past couple of years, we've seen him absolutely cut up defenses when he's given the time. This year, in the losses, it seems like there's a defender in his face 3 seconds after he snaps the ball. And last night, there were a couple times where the defense got to him. The Cowboys' defensive line is pretty good. And but when, you know, they weren't, when the O-line was holding up and protecting him, he had all day to throw. He was finding Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, all of his playmakers in space, and they were making plays as well. And that's when the offense is best clicking, when that offensive line can give him at least 4 to maybe 6 seconds to throw.
I think the statistics with last night's win, Detroit increased their chances of making the playoffs to 55%. If they would have lost, that would have fallen to 19%. But let's face it, it's not going to get a lot easier for the Lions. They travel to L.A. to face Matthew Stafford, who had a particularly bad game the other day, but the game before that he had a very good game, so that goes back and forth. In fact, Matthew could be an MVP candidate, and the 9-3 Rams, they're looking pretty good. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a huge game coming up next weekend. They'll have a little bit extra rest since they played on Thursday rather than this Sunday. So that's good for some of the injuries that they've got going on in the secondary and elsewhere on the team. And then looking ahead of that, the Rams are obviously a huge opponent. They're in the Super Bowl contention, so that's going to be a huge game. But then you've got, to finish out the season, you've got the NFC North leading Chicago Bears, who play the Green Bay Packers this week. So there's Lions fans, the team more so is just looking to get into the playoff picture right now, but we're still, you know, peeping on that NFC North title, and there's a lot of big matchups on the way this weekend and next weekend.
Yeah, there sure are. Makes it more exciting. We just want our team to do as well as we know they can do and have done. Anything else, Nikki, you want to leave us with?
Unfortunately, Brian Branch will be out for the season with a torn Achilles. That's a big loss for the Detroit Lions for the rest of the team, for the rest of the season. But Kirby Joseph, who's been dealing with some knee injuries, should be back, if not against L.A., then for the rest of the season. And that will be a huge addition with Branch going out in the secondary and along with getting some other key guys back in different areas on the team.
Yeah, when I saw Brian down, I didn't realize that it was going to be that serious, but that's season-ending serious. Yeah, I'm sorry to see that.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, but at least Amon-Ra St. Brown is, you know, trending up with his injury.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. Keep up the good work, and congratulations again on the alma mater you love, MSU. It's all beautiful news that they're celebrating, and you deserve to celebrate some good news at Michigan State University. Nick Lundberg, one of their finest graduates, with us now on WJR, day in and day out, and we're so glad about that. Nikki, thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
We continue in focus. We're going to the movies. Dave Rieger finally got a good job, and he's going to join us shortly. And we got a lot more going on, too, before we're done here at 2 o'clock, so stay with us on WJR. I just love that. Suddenly, Dave has a great job, and he's a great guy. And Rieger Reviews It is sponsored by Wigley's Famous Eastern Market Corned Beef. The temperatures are downright cold outside, which means it's time to get yourself to Jimmy D's Restaurant and Lounge for a hot corned beef, Dinty or Reuben sandwich. Proudly serving their legendary Wigley's corned beef sandwiches since 1987. Stacked high and modestly priced. That's Jimmy D's on Grosbeck in Clinton Township, Wigley's Famous Eastern Market Corned Beef. David, always a pleasure, and not just because it means it's Friday when you're here.
Hello, Paul W. How are you?
I am excellent. I hope you're well. Is this a good movie weekend?
Yeah, it's not bad. I would say that the streaming part of our discussion is going to be better than the movie part.
All right, let's start with the movie part.
So do you remember Major Magic's? Back in the day, it was kind of like what a Chuck E. Cheese is.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Where they had the little animatronic dolls that would have they would do a concert. So this is Five Nights at Freddy's, okay? And this is part two. And this is basically the story of these supernatural animatronic, dolls and they come to life and they cause chaos. And 1 year after the supernatural events at Freddy's Fazbear's Pizza, the story of what transpired has become a local urban legend, inspiring the town's first Fazfest. So if you have these animatronic animals that come to life and start causing trouble, why not have a Fazfest, you know, and a celebration to celebrate them? So this is basically what this movie is about, is they're trying to, you know, there's a girl who had a problem. These dolls would talk to her in the first one, and so she went and seeked them out. Well, she survived, and her parents are now trying to kind of, you know, make her not remember what happened. So the dolls are trying to come back to life to bring her back in, and we have a clip.
Let's listen to Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
So this is what it's like, being normal?
I think we've come pretty far, considering what we've been through.
How's Abby?
Some days she's good. Some days she misses her friends.
This story that you're gonna fix those animatronics, it's only giving her false hope.
Can any of you hear me?
Abby. Abby, help us. Come find us. I will show you the way.
So there you go. Yeah. So yeah. I have to mention for my good friend Danielle that this is also based off of a video game series. And also the main character, Josh Hutcherson, who Danielle really likes.
Danielle, turn your mic on for a second.
Yeah.
This clearly shows the difference in your taste and mine, but I have a feeling it's probably a generational thing. I'm that much older than you, and I just don't, I have less than no interest, and you think it's great.
The game. So all of the games are similar but different. So essentially you're walking around this pizza place and you are the person trying not to die. You are trying to get through the week. The week. So when you're done with the week, you win the game. But progressively and progressively, it gets harder and harder. The first night, basically everyone lives. Second night, no. It's all bets are off. These little animatronic guys coming at you. So I want to see it.
I also have to say that...
Yeah.
Okay. Anything involving dolls that come to life...
They're scary!
Not a fan.
Yeah, but have you
not,
seen them?
Not a fan.
Wait, does that mean you're freaked out by dolls, Dave?
I'm not freaked out. I'm not scared. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It means I'm not a fan. I'm not scared.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
When I go to a pizzeria, I just want to get the pizza and get out.
I liked Major Magic's. That was a fun place to go when I was a child.
Well, this reminds me. Kim sent me something earlier. I got to find this. Domino's. I think it's Domino's. Let me just find this real quick. Did you see the Domino's thing for the? I think it's for the rest of the year.
No.
Oh, I got to find this. I don't want to get it wrong. Oh, she sent this. She gets up so much earlier than I do. And thank God she sends me all this stuff.
50% off menu priced
pizza. Yes, Domino's, 50% off menu priced pizzas online through December 7th, just a couple more days.
Yeah, and there's no dolls that will come to kill you.
There are
either.
No dolls involved at all. But 50% savings on pizza, this is all good.
Sounds like a plus.
Okay, so I'm glad I...
Five Nights at Freddy's 2, I'm going to give it 1.5 Wigglies, okay?
I think you're being generous.
Well, there's a certain core group of people that it's going
to
enjoy.
Yeah, like Danielle.
Yeah, Danielle might like it.
And to be all honest, right. The heartthrob is really what's pulling me in.
The
here.
Guy.
Yeah,
she likes the actor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that jaw.
Oh, my God.
That alone. There you go.
That jaw alone. All right, let's listen to the one on Netflix, Stranger Things Season 5. I've been hearing a lot about this. Let's listen.
This is going to work.
Yeah, it better work. It's not like we're conspicuous or anything.
We have a plan. It's a bit insane.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
No idea. But I think we should find out.
Everyone in?
I want to see Vecna's heart on a platter.
He knows where we are.
Boom.
Time's up.
We gotta go.
Do it.
Oh my God. It's not gonna work.
It's not gonna work.
We're not gonna
it's
make it.
Gonna work. I got it. Come on.
Well, you said this was better than the one in theaters.
So, obviously, Stranger Things, a cultural phenomenon. Obviously.
It's very successful. Yes. I saw, it seems to me, last night, and I shouldn't be staying up, and I'm trying not to, but it seems to me on Jimmy Fallon, he had one of the stars from Stranger Things on last night, and the guy looked about 12.
Yeah. Well, this takes place in the 80s, obviously. This picks up in November of 1987, about 18 months after the Season 4 finale. Obviously, the city of Hawkins, Indiana, is under a strict military quarantine following the massive earthquake that tore the town apart. But the central plot of this season revolves around the main group of characters that are united on a single goal of finding and killing Vecna, the mastermind behind the upside-down invasion. So the only problem with Stranger Things...
Oh, now that you explain it that way...
The only problem, though, is that, and I think Mike Parsons would agree with me on this, he's a fan, is that it takes too long between seasons.
Yeah, 2-3 years since last season, I was kind of lost the first few episodes. I've still got the last episode to watch because it's an hour and a half. I hear the last episode has a great cliffhanger, so I'm going to watch it this weekend. But that's exactly it, Dave. There's too much time between seasons. Even the recap didn't really catch me up.
So if anybody listening wants to follow this, do they have to start back at season one?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, 100%. You need to follow it in order so you know what's going on. And this one's going to be, there's only four episodes. Then the next couple of episodes are going to be, was it Christmas Eve?
Christmas or then New Year's.
And then New Year's, and then supposedly the finale is going to also be released in the theaters across the country. So.
But this is season five on Netflix.
Correct. The last season, yes.
How many Wigglies?
I'm gonna give this one three Wigglies because I think it's going to get better. But I have read that the first couple episodes it's starting a little slow.
I agree. I can't wait to watch the last one, though. I hear there's a great cliffhanger, so.
That will make you wait until Christmas for the next one. There you go.
All right. Dave Rieger. Rieger reviews it. Dave suddenly has a great job, and we're thrilled to have him here helping us every Friday and in between. He's on the team. Thank you, gentlemen. Friday nights at Freddy's, 2 in theaters, about 1.5 Wigglies, and Stranger Things Season 5 on Netflix, about 3 Wigglies.
Take care, Paul W. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Dave. You too. As we continue in focus at WJR at 1:45. Welcome back to the program as we close it out for this Friday and for this beautiful week. John James, Congressman John James, Republican 10th District and gubernatorial candidate. Congratulations to you, John. You just came out as leading, from what I could see, the polls between the Democrats and the Republicans. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Good afternoon. Glad to be back on.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Tell us how it's been going.
Well, it's been going pretty well. It's good to be back home. After doing in my current job what Michigan sent me to do, which is look after our kids, I'm excited to get back home and actually see mine. So I'm getting around the state, of course, listening to people's concerns, and I think that's what you see in the polls. Being able to talk about their concerns about affordability, about safety, about trust in the lack thereof in this particular administration, in the government, making sure that we fix our schools. Those are all things people are concerned about, and you're beginning to see that manifest in some of the trust that they're putting in me for next year.
Well, and you're looking out for our kids. At this point, anybody can log on to an app store, download apps at any time. You're saying, wait a second, this shouldn't be the case. Maybe we got to take a look at this, especially for kids under 18, and you're very supportive of the App Store Accountability Act.
Well, not only am I supportive of it, I wrote it, Paul. The App Store Accountability Act is a bill that's actually moving pretty quickly through both the House and the Senate that is going to apply the same rules and logic to the app stores that we apply to our corner stores, our little mom and pop shops. I believe that our parents have a right to know. I believe that our kids cannot consent. And I believe that minors should not be engaged by or dealing with adult or addictive material. Our current social media landscape is a total cesspool. It should be for adults, frankly. But our kids deserve to be protected, their innocence protected, and our parents deserve to have more tools to look out for their kids. And that's exactly what this does. It holds big accountable for the filth they are putting in front of our children's eyes. And we're creating, as we say in the auto industry, one throat to choke, essentially demanding that big tech abides by the same rules and regulations that mom and pop shops do right here at home.
Why do you think this has been so difficult? This has been going on for a while. Why do they get away with this? I know that parents feel guilty that they don't spend as much time with their kids as they'd like to, which is why oftentimes if I got yelled at school, or if you got yelled at school, I bet, when we got home, there was hell to pay. Now you get yelled at school and your parents go to bat for you because they feel that's what they need to do to kind of reconnect with you. Why have we now parents don't have to worry about telling their kids they can't go online. The law is going to tell them, but why is it taking so long to get this going until you put this bill together, this App Store Accountability Act?
Well, parents are still going to have full control. Parents are still going to be able to use this tool to parent. I firmly believe that the federal or state government shouldn't be able to tell you what to do with your kid. I'm a strong advocate of protecting parental rights. But there are certain protections and tools that we can give parents to assist them in doing this. And the first thing is to hold big tech accountable. Big tech has been making billions and billions and billions of dollars by putting adult or addictive material in front of our children. And it's wrong, and it's going to stop. And this is going to help protect Michigan's children, and it's going to protect our next generation. Because, my goodness, we need all the help we can get.
Well, God bless you, Congressman John James, for doing that. That matters. It means a lot as you continue to do lots of good work as congressman of the Republican congressman of the 10th District and as gubernatorial candidate, where right now you lead the race for governor in the latest Mears-Mitchell research poll between Democrats and Republicans. Hey, what did you think about the Lions game last night? I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, that was definitely a safety. And I don't know. It seems somehow the league always seems to try to find a way to help the Lions. Feels like every time we get on the field, we have to go against the team on the field, the opponent and the Zebras. But the Lions prevailed. Having a generational talent like Jahmyr Gibbs, who congratulations, Jahmyr, on tying Barry Sanders' touchdown record before the age of 24. That's
wow.
There's truly, like Dan Campbell said, there's no cap on that guy. The Lions are the best team out there. And, you know, the highly vaunted defense that people were saying that the Cowboys were much improved had another shootout this year, and the Lions prevailed. And I think our offensive line deserves to be credited for protecting Jared Goff and opening holes for Montgomery and Gibbs. A phenomenal talent, and wish the best for our Warriors out there who have been injured. We know that your heart is still with your teammates on the field, and our hearts with you guys as well.
John, where do people find you for more information about your gubernatorial efforts?
Yeah, it's johnjamesmi.com on all the socials. You can see my travels all around the state, and you can see how you can help participate and be a part of the change that Michigan so desperately needs.
johnjamesmi.com. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Always a pleasure. Hey, did you see the supermoon last night?
No.
Oh, my God, it was fabulous. They also call it the cold moon, and I'm not sure why, but the supermoon was out there last night. People who looked at it and said, wow, that moon is something. Now you know it was something. It's called the supermoon, and we enjoyed it last night. You're going to enjoy JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani coming up next. And thanks to the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, Marie Osborne, Ann Thomas, and Kim Smith. And to you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Regards, Paul W. Smith.